Bide will come to order. Welcome, Representative Dahlem.
I'll pay my bill.
No, that's, well, okay, you will. For those of you who, and the uninitiated who do not know, we fund Education First here. So if you're going to be using an acronym, please use the complete and entire phrase, and then you can feel free to use the acronym after that. But it's a dollar fine, tax surcharge, you name it, for that particular offense. If your cell phones are off, on, and they ring, we would suggest a dollar deposit as well. And then the tardiness issue is mostly ours to deal with, and Representative Dahlem is going to submit a dollar into the fund. So with that, we'll move into a public hearing on House Bill 3418. Mr. Keller, would you give us some overview, please?
Yes. House Bill 3418 creates voluntary assessment program to raise monies for public education. Creates Friends of Public Education Fund to receive voluntary assessment monies. Continuously appropriates monies and fund to Department of Education for grants. Directs Department to develop criteria and award grants to school districts based on need. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you very much. Representative Kitts, would you like to come forward? Welcome to our House Education Committee.
Thank you for having me.
For the record, I am Representative Derek Kitts, House District 30, Hillsborough, and thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for agreeing to hear my little bill today. I would love to say it's a technical fix, but I don't think it is. So with that being said, I know you've all read the bill, and I will tell you that this concept came to my mind during the ballot measure 30 debate, where it seemed that if you supported ballot measure 30, you supported education. If you were opposed to ballot measure 30, you were opposed to education. And that seemed to be the way the debate was framed. And quite frankly, those of us that were in the building last session know that that just wasn't the case. That being said, what House Bill 3418 does is it is drafted just as ballot measure 30 was drafted, but simply makes it voluntary and directs the Department of Revenue to have a checkoff box to implement ballot measure 30. So instead of mandating ballot measure 30, it simply says if you want to be a friend of public education, check the box. I don't know how much I can elaborate. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It directs the Department of Education to set up a website entitled Friends of Education. And those that check the box will have their name on the Friends of Education website. The money that is garnered from House Bill 3418 goes directly to the Department of Education to be dispersed as they see fit. I've done it this way because I didn't want that money to be a pool of money that was generated that somehow the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, would think that my intent of the bill was something other than education. This bill is designed directly for education to be administered by the Department of Education for education. So, colleagues, with that being said, I'm more than happy to entertain any questions. I do think the bill is pretty self-explanatory. So with that, I will move the previous question on myself and close off debate.
Thank you for your parliamentary maneuver, Representative Kitts. Are there any questions? I see one formulating in thought process here. Representative Dahlem? No. Representative Carr?
No, I'm, I think I...
You're highlighting?
I'm highlighting. It makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have,
Representative Dahlem?
Madam Chair, thank you. Representative Kitts, do you have any notion of what kind of money this might raise?
Yeah, Representative, that's a great question, and the Department of Revenue was unable to give me any facts or figures on that simply because 40% of the Oregonians that voted against ballot measure 30. It's not just simply fair to say 40% of the tax revenue that the state collects would be the number, because you don't know what income level those 40% are at according to the bill. So it's pretty tough to generate a number. However, I mean, the monies would be substantial if those 40% of Oregonians that voted for ballot measure 30 simply checked the box and said, yes, please tax me. So the answer is no. I don't have a specific number. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Representative Dahlem. No, I do not have a specific number.
Further questions? Well, I can see there's a little sparring going on here, but it's sign language. We don't do that in
the day. Passing notes underneath a dais.
We have to have that prearranged.
That's fine.
Representative Kitts, we do not have it scheduled for a work session today, but we will be work sessioning it most
Great.
Likely at some point next week. So.
I appreciate that. Thank you, committee, for your
Thank
time.
Thank you for your creative approach here.
You bet. Have a wonderful day.
Was there anyone else who would, I do not have anyone else signed up, but who would like to give testimony in House Bill 3418? We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3418. It can be revisited. We will open a public hearing on House Bill 2806. Mr. Keller?
Yes, ma'am. House Bill 2806 requires school districts to give students opportunity to salute the United States flag each school day and at school assemblies by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Declares an emergency effective July 1, 2005. At our last meeting, Representative March asked me to respond to several questions. I provided a copy of my response to all of you. I utilized the Internet, NCLS, to...
NCLS? Yes, the Council of State Legislatures.
No, you didn't bring your jug, so yes, that's fact. anyway, all the questions have been responded to. And this does not have a subsequent referral.
Thank you very much. I have signed up to testify Stella Gunther. I see some new faces here today, and I welcome you all.
Madam Chair Flores and the committee, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to this. My name is Stella Gunther, and my residence is 22794 Woods Creek Road, Philomath, Oregon. And I'm here today to represent myself as well as the Benton County Republican Women and several of our Benton County residents as well, and them knowing that I was coming. I'm emotionally attached to most things that deal with patriotism, and so I am going to probably read this mostly because then I can stay better in control. And when I received the email regarding the opportunity to speak out in support of the present-day Pledge of Allegiance, I was compelled to respond by the essence of my upbringing. My grandparents, mother and my aunts, lived through and experienced the ravages of war in England. They came, as many others did, to America, seeking a safe harbor and hope for a brighter and more productive life, and they found that and far more. They told my sister and I over and over again how fortunate we were to have been born in America. And it was my grandfather who taught us the Pledge of Allegiance at a very young age. Today I come representing a group of dedicated women, the Benton County Republican Women, whose membership numbers 53, and by a unanimous vote stand with me in my testimony. It really is very simple. No child should be deprived of repeating the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag because there happens to be a conflict of ideas. When I visit another country, a place of worship other than my own, or a friend or a neighbor of another culture, I conduct myself in a manner of respect for them. Standing during the Pledge of Allegiance is simply showing respect. No one says that every child must say the pledge word for word, or in fact even say it at all. Just show respect. If we taught this to the children, to respect others, we would be strengthening our future and theirs. We are not a cookie-cutter society. Except for the existence of the Youth Companion magazine published from 1892 through 1929, the Pledge of Allegiance never would have been written and promoted. Promoted. I think that's a word we need to look at. Maybe that is what's missing. Who and what promotes our Pledge of Allegiance today? To my knowledge, the Boy Scouts are the strongest promoters for youth of our nation. During my growing years, the Pledge of Allegiance was as familiar to me as Jesus loves me. We were taught by example and teachings by our parents, our pastors, and teachers about what made our country great to show respect to the symbol of our nation, which bolstered our pride and fostered our sense of patriotism by reciting every day and at every assembly the Pledge of Allegiance. So on behalf of the Benton County Republican women and myself, I, Stella Gunther, ask that the House Bill 2806 be passed. And if I could, I'd like to read you just a little thing here. Is that all right? Okay. This is I Am Old Glory. For almost 200 years, I have been the banner of hope and freedom for generation after generation of Americans. Born amid the first flames of America's fight for freedom, I am the symbol of a country that has grown from a little group of 13 colonies to a united nation of 50 sovereign states. Planted firmly on a high pinnacle of American faith, my gently fluttering folds have proved an inspiration to untold millions. Men have followed me into battle with unwavering courage. They have looked upon me as a symbol of national unity. They have prayed that they and their fellow citizens might continue to enjoy the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness which have been granted to every American as the heritage of free men. So long as men love liberty more than life itself, so long as they treasure the priceless privileges bought with the blood of our forefathers, so long as the principles of truth, justice, and charity for all remain deeply rooted in the human hearts, I shall continue to be the enduring banner of the United States of America. We owe it to this symbol. To pledge it. We also owe it to our children to teach them what it means. How many of you really know what the words of the pledge mean? There are some additions that you have in the folder that I gave you, but I'd like to show you this flag here. And in our Cub Scout group, our Cub Scouts made a flag like this. This is a simple thing that could be made by children in the classroom. And it represents the flag. And it tells you, I pledge. A pledge is a promise. Allegiance. Allegiance is loyalty to the flag. A flag is a symbol that stands of the, for, a place, a thing, or an idea. United States of America. The United States is one country made up of 50 states and several territories. And to the Republic for which it stands, the United States, we the people, elect leaders who make our law. One nation under God indivisible. No comma after there. We need to teach that. One nation means one country. Indivisible means our country cannot be split into separate parts. With liberty and justice for all. Liberty is freedom. Justice is fairness. People of many different races, cultures, and faiths call America their home. Now, what you have connected to that I have in your pamphlets, is a much more lengthy definition of each one of these phrases. But our children need the simplicity of phrases like this so that they understand. The adults, I think, need the more complicated phrases because sometimes we just don't get the simplicity. We need a little more wording, I guess it is, to get it into our heads. This is so important because we have to teach kids patriotism. It is so important. It just so connects us. And we've experienced that through many things in the last 2 or 3 years in our country. But who is really teaching the kids? Why should it even be a matter of discussion that we have the Pledge of Allegiance done in our schools? I do not understand it, and I think that it is a crime. You go to any other country, they are very proud of the pledges that they make to their country and to their flag and to their the different items that they have within them. Why we, a country who accept everybody, and the Statue of Liberty has the poem, and you have it in your pamphlet. And I admire every person who has taken the time to come here to this country, and we have accepted them. But what we need to do is they need to come to give, not to take. And it seems today that we have more takers and people wanting us to change our ways to suit them, rather than them coming to give to this country that opens their arms to them and be a part. And I find that very disturbing to me. I was raised in a family of great patriots, and I admire the fact, and I am blessed with the fact that I was. And it hurts me to hear children not even knowing the words sometimes to the Pledge of Allegiance. And they don't always know what it means. Most of our adults stand up and say it, and they don't know what it means. It's just rote. Our pride needs to be stronger, and our will needs to bend to doing what we know is right. And it is only right that we teach our children the truth about our history. We do a dictionary project that we get into the classrooms of every fourth grade class in Benton County. Private schools, public schools, homeschoolers. And we teach them a little bit about their country just through that dictionary, because it has far more in it than just words. But it is so important that they understand and that they have the opportunity to know the meaning of. We have such an opportunity. And I don't want my grandchildren having to be in growing up into a country where they have to feel fear if they say that they are a Christian, that they have to feel fear if they say they believe in the United States of America, or that they believe in the words of today's Pledge of Allegiance. There should not be fear in this country for that. That's not what our forefathers meant. And we should stand on that foundation that was built for us. And we've all gone through our lives. We've had it. Boy, we've had good times, good years, good life. And today we are in a place where we need to pull together more than any time in our history. And you cannot tell me that if these children start listening to the words, and the teachers help them to understand the words, and they say it every day and at the assemblies, that will not build their respect for their flag and their country. We're not saying that the children who have other faiths or other families have other ideas, they don't have to say the words, but they can certainly stand in respect. And I just feel that this bill needs to be passed. And I thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mrs. Gunther. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions? Representative Farr.
If a child doesn't feel comfortable saying the Pledge of Allegiance for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
And they don't feel comfortable standing, do you object to having them stay seated?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We have two representatives that we will call forward. So that they can resume their duties, Representative Esquivel and Representative Wisnett. Thank you for taking the time to be here with us this afternoon.
Madam Chair, fellow legislators, you know, I've given this quite a bit of thought. For the record, I'm Representative Esquivel, District 6, Medford, Oregon. I've given this quite a bit of thought. I was going to do a speech, write one out, but you know you really can't. Let's think about this. What does this? This is a symbolic situation where you have a flag that represents the United States. That's what this boils down to. I had the opportunity when I went to Japan and Korea on a trade mission to sit on a bus ride from the Tokyo airport with an individual from China. I asked this individual, "What? Give me one word of what you think the United States is and represents." I expected materialistic, car, something like that. The word was freedom. That's what we represent to other parts of the world, freedom. What is freedom? Freedom is something that I do that you can't stand. Freedom is something that you do that I can't stand. Freedom is being able to be a Republican or Democrat and also a communist and a Nazi. We have those in this country. Freedom is understanding that no matter what an individual does, they have that right. That's freedom. That's what this flag represents, the freedom. So let's talk about the freedom of the individuals that we're asking if they want an opportunity to say a Pledge of Allegiance to their flag, which symbolizes freedom. Are you making them say it? No. Are you even making them stand? No. You're just allowing the people that want to participate the freedom to participate. 1.2 million men and women have sacrificed themselves for freedom. 1.2 million. That's a bunch. So I suggest that we think about this in the aspect, and there's going to be people that object to this. Why would you object to it? Well, it may have something to do with freedom. Okay, let's think about freedom again. What is freedom? What does it do? But more importantly, it's my freedom as much as it is yours. So when we vote on this, please, I recommend that you pass this and at least give us an opportunity, those that want, and also those that do not want, at least have an opportunity to participate in the Pledge to Freedom.
Thank you, Representative Escobar. We'll take Representative Wisnett and then any questions.
You need to go ahead.
I'm in a committee meeting, so does anyone have
a
question?
Are there questions for Representative Escobar?
No. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Good job. Madam Chair, honorable members of the Education Committee, thank you for allowing me to testify on this bill today. It's an honor to be a sponsor of this bill.
And Representative, for the record, would you...
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Representative Gene Wisnett, District 53, Deschutes County. As Representative Esquivel said, you know, I thought about what to say and how to do this and say it right. I had about a year ago, I was on a TV show, and I was the side advocating to put God in the Pledge of Allegiance, and the person on the other side was voting. So we're not really talking about that, but I think that's probably where we're going. After looking at the bill again, I probably would disagree with it, Madam Chair. I think it should be mandatory, but we'll not propose that as an amendment today. At the minimum, we should be given the opportunity to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I think it's very important to be patriotic. This is a great country. I've had the opportunity to serve this country for 27 and a half years in the military, and now I'm trying to serve it to the best of my ability in the state legislation. We start our every session off with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I think that's very, very symbolic and very, very important. I've had the experience of living overseas. I've seen other countries and how they honor their state and their nation. I once, during Vietnam, was in Thailand, and at the end of a movie in Thailand, everyone stood. You didn't rush out after the movie. They stood and showed a picture of the king and queen and played their national anthem. America, we are a great country. We are great because we have so many freedoms. But we can never forget, should never forget the patriotism, what this country is about. It is a right to disagree. But we should be
be sure that our young people in schools know what a great country we are. There's too much now out there in the press that's talking about the mistakes. And we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But we are a great country, and we're a country that other nations look up to. Madam Chair, this is, it, I'm, like I said, I'm almost embarrassed to say we should give students the opportunity. I think students should have to say the Pledge of Allegiance and salute. If they don't want to salute the flag, at least do the Pledge of Allegiance, because we are one nation under God. We need to reestablish patriotism and what it means to be Americans to our young people. I think we've gone overboard. I wish I had time to hear the testimony that anyone could argue against this. The Supreme Court has already ruled that it is constitutional to have in under God in the pledge, so that's not an issue. Madam Chair, I'll complete that. It's, as I said, an honor to be with you on this bill, sponsoring this, and I think our young children would appreciate and later years appreciate the opportunity to stand up and give the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Representative Wisnant. Are there any questions? Representative Roebling.
Would you substitute it as the national anthem, as opposed to would you want to do both?
Madam Chair, Representative Roebling, would you repeat it, please?
At assemblies, it talks about doing that. Would the national anthem be the same, or would you want them to do both? Okay. I forgot that.
May I insert here, Representative Roebling? As we move into work session, I do have a draft dash one amendment that would remove the requirement for the pledge to be recited at assemblies. It does have appeal to have the national anthem played, but I just wanted to let you know.
Do we have those dash one amendments?
I have them available, and when we get to work session, we'll.
Madam Chair, if I can answer the question.
Yeah.
Madam Chair and Representative Roebling, I don't think there should be a limit on expression of patriotism. I would be in favor of both. That's part of the education process, in my opinion, humble opinion.
Be it ever, huh? Representative Hart.
Representative Wisenet, thank you, Madam Chair. The reason that that I asked the question about standing or remaining seated, there are a number of people that object to saying the Pledge of Allegiance under or for religious reasons, and they also feel uncomfortable standing because they still feel that it's the same thing. But I also wanted to say that in regards to forcing people to say, which I could never support that, and I'll illustrate with a story why. When my husband, Representative Farr, first came to the United States as an 11-year-old boy, he said the Pledge of Allegiance in class, and he felt compelled to. And being a recent implant from England and still feeling allegiance to the British flag and to his British heritage, he felt very uncomfortable saying it. And his brothers and sisters did as well. Now, of course, you know, he later became a U.S. citizen, and he's proud to say the Pledge of Allegiance because he understands it and he knows what it means. So that, you know, for me, that would be extremely important, that no one is ever forced to say it, that it's always said because they believe the words that they're saying.
Madam Chair and Representative, Honorable Representative Farr, I see your point, but I still don't think anything in the Pledge of Allegiance says that, you know, that you're pledging allegiance to the country you're living in. You're not saying I'm going to serve in the military if you're not a citizen, or that if you're not of that religious faith that believes in God. As I stated, the Supreme Court has said that we can say under God. It was approved by Congress. We do it in our session, and I think it's part of our heritage and patriotism that we need to establish with our young people.
I agree. I just wanted to say that for the record, because I want to be sure that when children say it, they understand what they're saying and why they're saying it.
I agree. That's all part of the learning process. Thank you, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Representative Lim had a question for you.
Before you go, thank you. What's the definition of the school? Is that primary school, elementary school, high school, or what schools are you talking about? Does it include even colleges or what?
Each district school board shall, and so that would be...
K-12.
Include everything.
K-12.
K-12.
Okay. Ready? And one more question. There might be some student from other countries, not a citizen, not even permanent residents. Some of the many children's illegal, the people living here, but by the federal law, we have to educate them when they come to school. And they might be uncomfortable saying of this allegiance to America because their countries are still some other countries. What they should do in that cases?
Madam Chair, Honorable Representative Lim, as Representative Farr said, I think that, you know, if they stand, if they can stand, if they want to stand or not, this is giving them the opportunity to say it or to not say the Pledge of Allegiance. But I think once someone becomes a citizen, that's part of becoming a citizen, you're pledging allegiance to your country and obeying. And I think that would be different.
You know, citizens, no big matters, but other countries. Even I don't know whether the Jehovah's Witness the people, do they do a pledge on this or no. They don't?
It's been my experience that they remain silent.
Remain silent. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Harley Ray and Leo Reitz. You may go in any order you choose, and just for the record, please be sure to give us your name.
Let the younger speak first.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Leo Reitz, live in Philomath, if you know where that is, just west of Corvallis. I'm a native Oregonian, born near Oakland, and I've had the privilege of serving in World War II. It seems almost... Well, it might seem a little strange. They were even discussing such a thing as the Pledge of Allegiance. It should be standard procedure. I was willing to put my money where my mouth was, to join the Army, help protect the country, make it what it is, and to pledge allegiance to this great country that we have. It should be, as he said, mandatory that if you're a citizen of this country, you should say the pledge, you should have allegiance to the country. If you're here on a visa, and your child going to school, we have people who come here all the time for the UN, for missions, for many different things, who are not citizens, do not plan to become citizens, their children are not going to become citizens, and so obviously they would not be expected to pledge allegiance to this country. But those who are citizens, those who are living here, intend to live here, there should be no exceptions. So, I appreciate your giving me the opportunity to be here and express my opinion. And, as I say, it's almost a shame that such a bill is necessary. But I am sure you'll pass it.
Thank you, sir.
Madam Chair, committee, for the record, my name is Harley Ray. I'm here representing the Veterans Organization of the State of Oregon. I want to start off with saying I grew up during the time of Second World War. And after going to school, started going to school, it was just life to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It was an honor to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I went on to join the military, and I spent 36 years in the military. I felt, as a citizen, it was my duty to support our freedom. The Pledge of Allegiance is why I grew up believing in. I have the right to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. If I don't like the words under God, then I can not say them. But I also have the right to say under God. And that is my privilege as a freedom, as a member of America, as a citizen. So we have one thing we're looking at. It's for teaching our children about America and about our freedom. And this is part of our freedom. One other thing, I just heard representative say that the it has been approved by the courts to say under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. I have not heard that, but evidently. What the other thing we're asking, if this has not been completed and signed into law, we should go ahead and continue on with this law in this state. If it ever says no by federal, then we then can go back to it. But let's continue on, and I really appreciate your support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and thank you both for your service to this country. Are there any questions for these gentlemen? We're going to put you on the hot seat now. Don't run away. Representative Shields has a question for you.
Actually, yeah. Just a comment. It's my understanding that the court has not yet made a definitive decision on whether or not under God is constitutional.
And that's why I was not in concurrence with Mr. Ray's statement. Okay, you can go then. Thank you. Major Roscoe Conklin. Thank you for being here, sir.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak. I represent myself. A citizen voter of over 60 years. A member of the citizenship has been called on, millions of us have been called on to defend our United States in its during the wars. I'm a World War II veteran. And I think that I support this legislation. I think it is good for our children. And from the standpoint of the comments of people that say a child might be uncomfortable, well, I've raised four children, and many times they were uncomfortable when my wife wanted to wash their faces. And children need to have their faces washed. They need to understand that the Pledge of Allegiance is a part of this country's chauvinistic symbolism, and I thank you for allowing me to speak for myself.
Thank you, Major Conklin. Are there questions? And thank you for your service to this country. Doug Mercer.
Madam Chair, honorable legislators, I have a handout for you that is being handed out right now. I'll wait till you get that.
You can proceed.
Okay. On March 23rd, 2005, during spring break, I had the opportunity to address you, as did my wife, Stacy, and our 16-year-old daughter, Molly. As you may recall, my wife is a high school teacher for the Portland Public Schools since 1982. You also may recall our three children attend school in the Portland Public Schools, being in the 5th, 9th, and 11th grades, and that I am a juvenile probation counselor, having worked at juvenile court for 15 years since 1990. This is all to say we have years of experience working within the public schools. The rest of my family was not able to be here today again due to this being finals and state testing week in the Portland Public Schools. It has been our experience that the Pledge of Allegiance has been forgotten and neglected all of these years in the Portland Public Schools, despite Oregon law, which already requires the public schools to give the opportunity to say the pledge weekly. Every year, I've had to remind and urge the principal and teachers of our kids' schools many times each year to give the opportunity at least weekly as required by Oregon law. I've even contacted the assistant superintendent of schools for the Portland Public Schools, and she agreed that she'd send out an email to all the principals. That was back in October, and still our kids are not saying the Pledge of Allegiance on a regular basis. All of our family and friends from all over Portland have told us their kids in public school are rarely, if ever, given the opportunity to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Most have told us they haven't said it since elementary school, and just sporadically even then. My contacts and experience working with schools, juveniles, and parents as a juvenile probation counselor in Vancouver, Washington, has been that the opportunity to say the Pledge of Allegiance daily is consistently done in Clark County, as required by Washington state law. I want to reiterate, Washington state law requires the kids to have the opportunity every day, and it is being done.
Do you have a copy of that law? The information that we've gotten from the national state legislatures says that the flag must be displayed, but it's unclear about the required.
Yes, I have a copy of that law.
Okay.
I've seen it. It's on the Washington state law's email site.
Okay.
And I asked for it through the school district in Vancouver.
Okay, thank you.
Representative March, I have a copy in my file upstairs in my office.
Great, thank you. It was because the information we had was unclear about that.
I've seen it. It is clear as day.
And I'll make that available to you individually, collectively, as
I will take your word for it.
Okay.
In Washington State, it is incorporated into the daily announcements, often with live or taped video of the American flag. I believe it is practiced without neglect because it is not so forgotten as a daily requirement and routine. The neglect of the weekly opportunity in Oregon, contrasted to the consistent practice of the daily pledge in Washington, clearly demonstrates the positive cause and effect and need of having a law that requires the opportunity daily. Why is the Pledge of Allegiance important? It has multiple benefits. Oregon law requires public schools to teach values and character qualities. The pledge teaches our young citizens loyalty to country, patriotism, national unity, commitment to liberty and justice for all. These are all vitally important values and character qualities that Oregon and America need to both survive and thrive. These are values and character qualities that seem to be fading quickly, especially in our youth of today. And I work with those youth every day for the last 15 years. These values may also encourage and foster respect and other character qualities badly needed in our schools and country today. At our Kids One High School in Portland, where two of my kids attend, there are over 30 languages spoken in the homes of that one student body. And that scenario is common in Portland. There is a tremendous need for a daily Pledge of Allegiance to promote national unity, loyalty, patriotism, liberty, and justice for all. On March 28th, the representative from the ACLU raised their sole objection to the Pledge of Allegiance to the words, "One Nation Under God," which are included in the pledge. Historically, we were founded and continue to be one nation under God. The word God is generic and lends itself to all faiths in God of this great nation. In March 2005, just last month, the U.S. Supreme Court was hearing arguments over the public display of the Ten Commandments. In the past, arguments have been that the Ten Commandments can be legally displayed if they are drowned out by other historical documents surrounding them. However, in March, Justice Scalia severely challenged that by saying plainly, "Government derives its authority from God. What's wrong with that?" A number of the justices, most notably Anthony Kennedy, then expressed deep concern over the growing hostility to religion. As many as six of the justices saw no problem with government acknowledging and accommodating religious speech and symbols. The Pledge of Allegiance has been our national pledge, written for schools since 1892. That's 110 years. In 1954, the words "under God" were added to the pledge by an act of the United States Congress. In a 1954 speech after the United States Congress added the words "under God," President Eisenhower said, "In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace and war." These are the words from the President of the United States, who had previously led our country to victory in World War II as a supreme Allied commander. The Pledge of Allegiance is already accepted as our national pledge, now and for the past 100 years. The question for us today is not whether we will accept the pledge, but how often should the opportunity be given in the public schools of Oregon. I would urge you to give our students the opportunity daily for Oregon to not just survive, but thrive in the future, and for one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please support House Bill 2806. And I'd like to take the liberty of reading a writing about the flag. Skipping a couple pages ahead. And this is an anonymous writing. "Hello, remember me. Some call me Old Glory. Others call me the Star-Spangled Banner, but whatever they call me, I am your flag. the flag of the United States of America. There has been something that has been bothering me, so I thought I might talk it over with you here today. I remember some time ago, I think it was Memorial Day, or was it Veterans Day, that people were lined up on both sides of the street for a parade. A high school band was behind me, and naturally I was leading the parade. When your daddy saw me coming along, waving in the breeze, he immediately removed his hat and placed it so that his right hand was directly over his heart. And you, I remember you, standing there as straight as a soldier. You didn't have any hat, but you were giving me the right salute. Remember, they taught you in school to place your right hand over your heart, and little sister, not to be outdone, was saluting the same as you. There were some soldiers home on leave, and they were standing at attention, giving the military salute. O was very proud as I came down your street that day. Now I may sound as if I'm a little conceited. Well, I am. I have a right to be, because I represent you, the people of the United States of America. But what happened? I am still the same old flag. Oh, I have a couple more stars added since you were a boy. A lot more stars added since the beginning of this country. And a lot more blood shed since the patriotic day so long ago. Now I don't feel as proud as I used to. When I come down your street, some people just stand there with their hands in their pockets and give me a small glance and then look away. I see children running around and shouting. They don't seem to know who I am. Is it a sin to be patriotic anymore? Have some people forgotten what I stand for? Have they forgotten all the battlefields where men have fought and died to keep this nation free? When you salute me, you are actually saluting them. Take a look at the memorial rolls sometime. Look at the names of those who never came back. Some of them were friends and relatives of yours. That's whom you are saluting, not me. Well, it won't be long until I'm coming down your street again. So when you see me, stand straight, place your hand over your heart, and you'll see me waving back. That's my salute to you. And then I will know you remember who I am. The last thing I would like to read to you is one of my coworkers and a good friend. He recently graduated from Linfield College. He's a very humble guy, but he was captain of the football team and a real leader. And I'd like to read this letter from Nick Potter, who I work with. To whom it may concern, it has been brought to my attention that my dear friend, Doug Mercer, that Oregon schools are not giving their students the opportunity to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. This started happening when I attended Oregon Public Schools. I attended elementary, middle, and high school at Sherwood Public High Schools in Oregon. I remember reciting the Pledge of Allegiance every day in my first grade class in 1985-86. Our teacher was Mrs. LeBon. Our teacher, Mrs. LeBon, would have us stand and say the pledge right after we were all seated, before we started any schoolwork. The Pledge of Allegiance was said much more sparingly over my next 11 years of school. By the time I was in high school, the student body would only say the pledge before school assemblies and sporting events held inside the gym, basketball games, volleyball games, wrestling matches. I have fond memories of my first grade class. Reciting the pledge left a lasting impression on me as a U.S. citizen, a student, a young boy. I remember thinking that something was missing when we didn't recite the Pledge of Allegiance as I got older. I wish we had continued every year I was in school reciting the pledge daily. It would have only taken a few seconds and would have gone a long way to unite us as a class, a school, and a community. Probably more than we know. I want the younger generations to feel pride for this nation, to remember what those who have gone before them did and said to make this nation free. I think my dear friend Doug is right to be so passionate about this. It may seem like a small gesture to allow each class of students to say the pledge, but I believe it will leave a lasting impression of what this country is all about. It did with me. Respectfully, Nicholas Potter. I want to thank you for considering this important issue, and I want to thank you for your support. Does anyone have any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Mercer? Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mercer, you said you worked as a juvenile probation counselor for the last 15 years.
Yes.
In Vancouver, Washington.
Yes.
And you've seen declines in your caseloads of juveniles?
Declines in, yeah, attitude, behavior, absolutely. Absolutely. It's incredible. Of course, a lot of it's drug-related. Meth is just incredible.
So the requirement for the Pledge of Allegiance in Washington State hasn't seemed to help?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that it hasn't helped. To be honest with you, my kids are in Portland schools. I look at the Vancouver schools, and I think the Vancouver schools are doing much better. And if it wasn't for my commitment to the family home that my grandfather and my father built, we would move to Vancouver. And part of it, this is just a tip of the iceberg of showing respect. The Vancouver schools are teaching the Pledge of Allegiance five times a week. The Portland schools are doing it. They're supposed to do it once a week. It doesn't happen even that.
Thank you.
May I ask a question of good Representative March?
Yes.
I fail to see the correlation between if they are teaching, allowing the Pledge of Allegiance on a daily basis and a decline in his caseload. Isn't that a good thing?
He hasn't had a decline in his caseload. That's the point, Madam Chair. And in his previous testimony, mentioned, for example, Columbine in Colorado, which happened to have a daily pledge. And it did not stop the Columbine
massacre. I see your point. Thank you very much.
If I could add, the behavior has declined, but that's gone nationally. However, I would again say that the Vancouver schools are in much better shape than the Portland schools, much better.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's all I have signed up to testify in this House bill today. Thank you, Mr. Mercer.
Thank you, Linda.
We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2806. We will open a work session on House Bill 2806. Now, as mentioned, I think you have before you some Dash 1 amendments, which would be an accommodation to delete the requirement that the pledge be recited at the opening of all school assemblies. Would you like to
make a motion that on line 11 of the printed bill. I'll move for the Dash 1 amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Dolan has moved the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2806. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none. The motion is to accept the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2806. The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. This is just on the amendments.
Just on the amendments.
Aye.
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 Aye. Dash 1 amendments are adopted. Now, we have before us House Bill 2806 as amended.
Make a motion that we move House Bill 2806 to the floor with
as amended
with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dolan has moved House Bill 2806 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Shields.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe, too, that this is a very important issue. I'll be voting against this bill, but I would just ask the Chair's indulgence to be able to explain why.
You have the floor.
While I deeply respect the good intentions of its sponsors and supporters, including Madam Chair and the Mercers, I have a different view of its likely effects. The proponents of the bill suggest that this bill will provide unity. And I'm afraid it will provide division. I'm concerned it will put undue pressure on children to conform through an oath of loyalty to our government. I believe it will ostracize children who, let's face it, are usually carrying out the wishes and beliefs of their parents when they refuse to participate. I'd rather not put kids in that position. In fact, it would probably make more sense to me to have the pledge in community colleges and in institutions of higher education. Why don't we? Maybe that the ostracizing of kids is no big deal. Maybe the ostracizing and pressure won't happen often. But I believe once is too much, particularly for kids. And it's my view that patriotism is best when it is given freely. And the most patriotic thing we can do, in my view, is to protect the rights and freedoms of those who see things differently from us, those in the minority. Because what the flag stands for, in my opinion, is that very freedom that says here in our country, you're free to pledge your loyalty, or you're free not to, without pressure, without ostracism, particularly for kids. That's what makes this the freest country in the world. I'll be voting no to protect kids and to protect liberty. And as Justice Stone said, it is a long step and one which I am unable to take to the position that government may, as a supposed educational measure, and as a means of disciplining the young, compel public affirmations which violate their conscience. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion? Representative Lynn.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you very much. And as I read the Pledge of Allegiance, it's exactly 31 words. And as I recite myself, it took 9 seconds. And so it is not long time, it is not long words. And a very precise this allegiance to the flag. It is not necessarily the country, it is the allegiance to the flag, which will lead into the country of USA. I think this is a good lesson and teaching of our children. And the loving the country doesn't happen. We need to teach them. And by deciding allegiance to the flag, it will reflect in their mind that the continual support and the love and the freedom with this allegiance. And I don't see any reason why they should oppose. If someone loved the country, someone loved the education, the value that the founding father stood for and fought for, and we have seen the world two veterans and plus other members. And sometimes it might think it's cumbersome. Why do we do it every day? But I believe the value we believe in, freedom, liberty, and justice, is so valuable. If we remind it every day, I don't think it's going to hurt anybody. On the ground, what I believe in, that the country we stand for, and I think this is a good thing. I'm going to vote for it.
Thank you, Representative Flynn. Any further discussion? Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to vote in support of this measure, but it was extremely important to me that that I understand that students who did not feel comfortable saying the pledge for whatever reason, religious reasons, or maybe even because they don't understand the Pledge of Allegiance, that they're not required to say it. I am hopeful that by requiring schools to allow children to say the pledge each day, that it will be a valuable teaching tool, and that this may open up a chance for dialogue between students, and also so that they can teach students what the United States flag stands for, and it could be a possible history lesson as well. You know, we know that students really don't have much in the way of civics education, and so they don't engage in the process. And whether or not they agree with what the United States does in terms of foreign policy, it still is an opportunity for them to learn more about how we started, where we've gone, and where we are today.
Thank you, Representative Fox. Representative Roland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see myself today voting for this motion, and I was a high school principal, and I think it will be something that high schools will have to deal with in different ways. But the more I think about it, and the more I have thought about it, some of the same reasons that Representative Shields, and I really appreciate what he said today, was saying, are some of the reasons that we need to really encourage people to talk about what it is, what this flag represents, specifically the things he just said, that people have a right not to, and to honor those kids who, because of their position, choose to not say it, to make sure that people understand clearly that's what the pledge in this country is all about. It is the right to defend and do the things. You know, my mother would have probably been against this bill. God rest in peace. She was a very opinionated person about things like this. Her first husband died in the Second World War. My father was in the Second World War. But she had strong feelings about requiring people to do things that they didn't believe in. So I truly respect what was said. I think there are times that, however, when we in schools can do some things that help work and bring people together. And I truly respected a number of people and at the high school, students whose families strongly believed in their religious beliefs that this was not the appropriate thing to do, and made every attempt to support those kids and talk with them and their families and made sure that they felt comfortable in any way that they can, because that is what we are fighting for here. I mean, we are fighting for those ideals that are in the Constitution, and I feel very strongly about that. I think you can do that with this bill. But I think that I just wanted to say I truly respect the comments that Representative Shields posed.
Thank you. Representative Dolan.
Yes, I feel obligated as a teacher for 10 years, social studies, to make a comment about a moment when you can teach the names of the students that did not I taught in the 60s. We had a lot of notions in the 60s that we're living with right now. But the opportunity to not participate, to not even stand, was always given. But it gave opportunity for discussion. And in the 60s, that seemed to be the thing that we did. But the discussion always centered around what this country was about. And those that chose not to stand, those that chose not to participate, had as much opportunity to explain why as those that did want to participate and those that did want to say the pledge. And for that reason, I have to vote for this bill, because we're going to give everybody an opportunity to do just exactly what this pledge represents, say their piece.
Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a tough vote in that this is a great country, and we all have the opportunity to agree and disagree. And if this bill was saying that we needed a social studies segment on the flag, on the country, on civics, and on the Constitution, I think I would be much closer to, I would be there voting for this bill. I recognize that it's only 9 seconds, and I'm afraid that 9 seconds is all it's going to be, and it needs to be more. So I know there's deep feelings on both sides of this issue. So it's been said eloquently by many people, and I'm going to have to respectfully vote no.
Thank you all for your thoughts. I will be calling for the vote on this. I will just share my thoughts as well. Most of you know that I'm a grandmother of 9, the oldest of whom turned 9 on March 31st. So I'm sensitive to those munchkins that come into our chamber. A few weeks ago, there was a Cub Scout group that was up in the upper gallery, and there was a flag ceremony. And when that flag ceremony started, those Cub Scouts whipped their salute, except for one little fellow. As I looked back, he went, "Well, this is the wrong hand." But he did it with gusto. And he did it with pride, and I almost wept at seeing that. But he was being taught something very important, that it was very important to respect that flag and to respect it with all your heart. And he did. He just happened to have been the wrong side. And I think that that is severely lacking. It is the purpose for which this bill was brought, and I thank Mr. Mercer for asking me to bring it. It's my privilege to have done so and to have a number of our colleagues sign on so that we can once again return to a focus, a civics lesson, if you will, through that 9 or 10 second recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance of the United States to the United States of America. For our students, that has there's been a significant generation gap, and I hope that we can help correct that, and I think this is course correction. So with that, Representative Dahlem has moved House Bill 2806 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Butler?
Aye.
Representative
Shields?
No.
Vice Chair
Dahlem? Aye.
Vice Chair March?
No.
Aye. Having received the proper majority, House Bill 2806 as amended, it will move to the floor.
Carrier.
And Representative Flores will be the carrier. Thank you very much. And thank you very, very much, all of you, for your participation and attendance here today. Panel, I would like to let you know that my Judiciary Committee will be leaving tomorrow afternoon for Tuesday, and I will not be in attendance Friday. Representative Dahlem will be chairing, and I understand Representative Roblin will be
in
Coosbay because it's his district. Representative Farr will be
Seaside.
In Seaside with her committee. Everybody else here?
So we won't.
I will be here.
Okay, well, is that a subcommittee? You're here. There's four. There will be a quorum. You will proceed.
I can do this.
You will have no work sessions without me. So that would be that. And then please note that April 29th will be a roadshow for the House Education Committee. Please put that on your schedule, Friday, April 29th. We will be going to Seaside. Friday, April 29th.
I will also be gone on Monday because agriculture is going to be in Sisters on Monday.
Thank you for letting us know.
April 29th?
April 29th.
And
it is a Friday. The arrangements will be delivered to you.
Yes.
No further business to come before this committee. We will send adjourned. Thank you.